Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the X's and O's of Greg Cosell. I'm Doug Ferraro of Touchdown Wire on the USA Today Sports Media Group. And the gentleman over there in the basketball hoodie, I know, Greg, you got...
Actually, it's a Nashville hoodie.
Oh, Nashville hoodie. I know you got to watch some basketball lately.
I've been watching basketball. It's you know, the madness, Doug. It's March Madness.
Yes. Well, you were a basketball guy in high school, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah. You were a shooting guard, power forward. What were you?
I was kind of a shooting small forward.
Okay.
Kind of that. Yeah.
The world needs those.
A long time ago, Doug. Yeah. Long time ago. I forget, you know?
Yeah, we don't want to get into that. Since we're talking ball today, by the way, we did the washing tape with Bo Nix, Oregon quarterback, last week. Great response to that. Everyone seemed really happy with it, as we were. So thank you all for your kind comments. We hope to do some more of that, and we'll just leave it at that for now. But this week, Greg, we're going to talk about your favorite guys in the 2024 NFL draft.
Well, some of them. We're not every. I don't want people to think it's just these guys.
Sure. Yeah. And some of them are rated. I don't know. I don't want to say underrated, but maybe not as visible as others. Some are names you'll know, and they're just guys you like. So these are like seven guys.
Well, I don't know who's doing the rating. I doubt that teams are telling writers what they think. So I don't even consider that when I do this. It's just guys whose tape, when I watch, I like their tape.
There you go. Well, let's make it simple like that. And let's start with two running backs. What are you, the GM of the Seahawks or what?
Why, are they looking for a running back?
Yeah, they're always looking for a running back. Trey Benson, running back from Florida State, 6'0¼", 216 pounds. Last season, he had 156 rushing attempts for 905 yards and 14 touchdowns. 551 yards after contact, 3.53 yards after contact per carry, 15 carries of 15 or more yards for 488 yards, and 20 catches on 24 targets for 227 yards and a touchdown. I watched this guy based on what you said, liked him a lot, but I will defer to you, of course, because these are your guys. What stood out to you the most about Trey Benson?
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, Doug, because he only had one game of 20 or more carries in the last two seasons at Florida State. He was a transfer from Oregon, originally went there out of Mississippi, amazingly. You know, he's an interesting guy. I mean, he's got downhill burst. He's got accelerating speed once he gets to the second and third level of the defense. He's got natural power. He's got a really strong lower half. Mm-hmm. And he can run. I mean, that's the thing that kind of comes out of nowhere, because he's a big guy and he looks big on tape. I mean, for anybody who wants to see a great run, and he had several from distance, take a look at the 38-yard touchdown this year against Miami of Florida. I mean, that is really a great snapshot of Benson as a runner. It was a gap scheme concept. I mean, you talk about showing his explosive accelerating speed at the second and third level. That's what he is.
We'll put that up for the video, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's really – that run kind of says it all. I think he's a better gap scheme runner overall than a zone runner, just stylistically, because you wouldn't say he's loose-hipped and shifty. He's not quite that guy. He's not elusive. A little tightness to him, but – He's a sustainer too. I mean, he's got a relentless mindset. He's got really good contact balance, mm-hmm. and that difference making burst in speed, which really kind of makes him an interesting guy as we transition him to the league.
Yeah. A couple things that stood out to me. He has impressive vision to and through gaps. He combines patience at the line with one cut and go speed. And I remember when we were talking about Isaiah Pacheco in our pre-Super Bowl X's and O's, and we talked about how Pacheco can win through skinny gaps. And I think he has that too.
Yeah, I would agree. And that may not be a really bad comparison. I mean, I hate these comparisons because that's all people remember, as we know. But he ran really well, just like Pacheco did. I think Pacheco ran a 4.37, if memory serves me correctly. I could be wrong on that, but we know Benson did run a 4.39. Because that was his number at the combine. So,
and that's pretty good for his size. That's
yeah. I mean, he's over 6 feet and 216. That's why I mentioned that 38-yard touchdown run against the University of Miami, because that really showed. I mean, he just ran away from pursuit, and he had a number of long runs. He's had a number of long runs in each of his 2 years at Florida State. So he kind of fascinated me. Again, with running backs, you never know how teams see them. You never know how they'll be deployed once they get to the league. Does he have the size and sort of the sustaining traits element to his game to be, I guess, what we call a feature back? He does, but that term can mean different things to different teams.
I was going to say whatever that means these days. I have no idea. Because everyone has a different idea of a feature back. A couple of the other notes just for your reaction. I agree with gap over zone, but he bounces outside with suddenness and authority where he can really use his knack for yards after contact. He has a nice sort of lateral swerve to get outside.
Yeah.
And he also brings explosive potential as a receiver on screens, swings, and release routes with the capacity for more. He lined up wide left against Boston College for a quick screen. So he's an interesting kind of versatile receiver too.
Yeah. We have no idea. You know, my guess is that there's not going to be a back taken in the first round, but that certainly doesn't mean that they can't be effective backs. I mean, look at Pacheco, who was he undrafted or was he a late round?
Seventh round, I think.
Yeah, but whatever. The point is backs can come in all different rounds, and then it becomes how they're deployed within the team.
Did you see anything with him that gave you concern?
Concern?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't call him shifty and elusive. The thing is a lot of these players kind of are what they are. And you know, I always find it interesting, you know, when people think, well, what's the weakness? You know, because everybody feels a need to put down weaknesses. You know, does he have a true weakness? Not given what he is. Now, that doesn't mean that he's, you know, Walter Payton, you know? I mean, but within what he is, you know, because he's not – yes, he is explosive, but he's not super shift. You know, we're not going to say, well, his weakness is that he doesn't have shiftiness like Barry Sanders. I mean, that's not what he is.
Right.
So, to me, that's not a weakness per se. But within what he is, he's pretty good.
Yeah. That's everyone's weakness but Barry Sanders. So I guess we're all
right. Right. I mean, you know, you can get caught up in that everybody feels, and we all do it. We feel the need to put down weaknesses and, you know, but you have to understand what a player is.
Yeah. I had a couple notes on things. I thought he occasionally tried to get a little too cute on what eventually led to negative runs when he'd be better off just turning up field and beating defenders up. Maybe he needs a better plan when he gets strung out to the boundary a little bit.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that. I'm always leery of saying that because one thing about backs is normally the way they're coached is they have a path for the first two steps.
Okay.
Or maybe three steps depending on the team. And then it's kind of what they see. So it's very hard for me to decide what they see is wrong. Of course, there are going to be plays where that doesn't work. And it's easy to say, well, he shouldn't have done that. But, you know, I almost feel like I have to be in his shoes and have him tell you, hey, here's what I saw. And here was my just reaction to it. And it's an instinctive reaction. So I know a lot of people, and no knock on you, Doug, but I know a lot of people, you know, I never read what anybody says about players until after I watch the player.
Right.
So I see that a lot with backs. Well, has a tendency to do this, has a tendency to do that. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're not seeing what he's seeing. You're seeing it after the fact.
I think where it stood out to me is Benson, I thought his vision was so good between the tackles, so immediate, and he would see it and then react really well. I didn't see that as much outside. It wasn't like, oh my God, this is a thing. It just stood out to me, maybe the vision outside the tackles versus inside the tackles, which is something.
Yeah, like I would say, I mean, being honest, I would say if you had to say what a quote unquote weakness is, I would say that he's a little stiff. He's not loose hipped. You know, he's not smooth and fluid. He's fast. He's straight line fast. But I would say that he's a little tight in his core. You know, he's not going to make those super sharp cuts. He's almost more of a darter and a slasher than a sharp cutter.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, he gets a little too upright. You know, I mean, I think these are things you could say are weaknesses in his game, but, you know, I know you mentioned the one cut downhill. I'm not sure I saw him as an outside zone runner, you know, but maybe he
not
is.
Not as much.
Yeah.
Not as much. Our second running back is Tyrone Tracy Jr., running back from Purdue. And I have to admit, this is the one guy I did not have a chance to watch.
Well, you got
to
take a look.
The one I watched a few plays, and the first thing that stood out was explosive. 5'11 and 1/8, 209 pounds. Last season, he had 114 carries for 714 yards and 8 touchdowns, 506 yards after contact, 4.4 yards after contact per carry, and 14 carries of 15 or more yards for 354 yards. He also had 19 catches on 25 targets for 138 yards. So I will cede the floor to you, Dr.
Well, you have to keep in mind, too, you can't worry about the targets because this guy came to college. He was a receiver. So right. We know he can catch the ball. I mean, in 2019, because he transferred from Iowa. So in 2019, as a receiver at Iowa, he caught 36 balls for 16.4 yards per reception. So there's no issue with him as a receiver. That's what he was.
No, what stands out to you about him? What was the first thing when you put on his tape? We're like, oh, okay, we got this.
Natural quickness, loose hips. He's got juice. You know, and I thought that he just has an explosive short area burst. He's got really good balance and body control, and he can re-accelerate in confined space. He
explain what that means. Explain what re-acceleration means.
Well, in order to be an effective runner, you're going to have to run where there's a lot of bodies. You know, you can't just run outside. You're going to have to run inside. And when you run inside, yes, you can hit the hole with burst and short area burst. But at some point, normally, I mean, hey, it's great if you can just run through a big hole and you just get to the second and third level with nobody there. But, you know, that's unrealistic to happen a lot. So what normally happens is, you know, there are bodies there, whether you run into a body, whether there's people reaching out and slowing you down, and you need the ability then to reaccelerate. You can't just be stopped. There's a lot of backs who don't quite have that ability. You know, they might be physical, they might be tough, they might be able to run through some contact, but at some point, you know, if you're going to have some longer runs, you're really going to have to be able to sort of reaccelerate when you're slowed down. He can reaccelerate. He did not slow down or lose stride on his cuts. And I saw him because of the receiving element, you know, and even though he's a pretty good sized back, you know, I don't know if he's a quote unquote feature back. I saw him at the next level. And again, I'm going to mention two names. And if that's all people remember, so be it. But I'm talking about.
I know you're sick of this because you were complaining about it on Twitter yesterday.
You know, yeah, because that's all people remember. But I'm talking about how they can be deployed in the league, not a direct comparison between players. But I think they can be used in much the same way that Alvin Kamara was used earlier in his career. When he was not, you know, the primary back, which he is now for New Orleans, mm-hmm. and the way Jahmyr Gibbs is used.
I was going to say Jahmyr Gibbs, yeah.
Yeah, and people are going to say, Jahmyr Gibbs, man, he's great. Well, that's not my point. My point is just in terms of deployment within an offense. In other words, a guy that can carry maybe 130 to 150 times, be a receiver, line up anywhere because he's done that in his background. He was a receiver. Yeah. So he can detach no problem from the formation. He knows how to run routes as a detached player. So I think he's a really intriguing guy. And he turned out to be one of my favorite backs to watch. And I think he'll be an ascending player because he's still learning how to be a runner.
And he's got all those athletic traits. Speaking of receivers, Greg, Anthony Gould, wide receiver from Oregon State, 5'8 and 3/8, 174 pounds. Last year, 44 catches on 70 targets for 711 yards and 2 touchdowns. Interestingly enough, for a guy his size, 91% of his snaps were outside, 16 catches on short passes, 16 catches on intermediate passes, and then he had 6 catches on 16 targets of 20 or more air yards for 196 yards and a touchdown. And I'll say this, he had to come back for a lot of those deep passes, so that could increase. And boy, this guy is just – he's a wind-up toy, boy. He right off the snap, those foot fakes and the way he gets from press, it's interesting.
Yeah, he's an explosive vertical dimension. I mean, he's got short area burst. He's got accelerating speed. He's got an extra gear. He can run by and get on top of corners. I think he'd be able to do that in the NFL as well. You know, I think there were snaps that he did show he could defeat press coverage with quickness and burst off the ball. My sense is, though, that given his size, if you draft this guy, you'll want to try to get him free access off the ball to quickly generate velocity and his accelerating speed to best take advantage of what he brings to a passing game. He was kind of a fun watchdog. I know you watched him as well.
Yep.
And I actually spoke to a wide receiver coach that really, really likes this kid. You know, and I think just to make a larger, you know, macro worldview point, I think the way the game has changed with motion and all different kinds of motion. We saw our good friend Jordan Rodrigue do a great piece on that short burst motion
Yes.
that the Dolphins started and that everybody is now using. It's, you know, everybody's going to use it now. You know,
best. We love her.
Yeah, she did a great job. But, you know, there's so much more. My larger point is there's so much more motion in the league now.
Yes.
So a guy who's, you know, just over 5'8 and weighs 174. And it's, again, I'm not making a direct comparison to Tank Dell. But the point is 15 or 20 years ago, no one would even have thought that Tank Dell was a viable wide receiver option in the NFL. And, you know, now it's changed because there's ways to get these receivers free access off the ball where their incredible burst and accelerating speed and quickness and all that, you know, can become a factor. So Gould is a really intriguing player because of that.
A couple of kind of nuanced points that came up to me. He instinctively sinks into his breaks at the route stem to draw himself away from coverage. He's very good at that. Where your problem one is the foot fake. Problem two is the just straight up vertical speed. And then he's so good at kind of reading the corner and understanding, okay, he's kind of going this way, or he might be switching to bail and I can go here. And he's really good at that. And then he tracks the ball very well to address misfires and underthrows. He's a really good ball tracker.
He's got strong ball tracking ability. I still think he's best on movement type routes where he can run away from coverage.
Sure.
Go routes, post routes, sail routes, crossers, those kinds of routes. I think, you know, ultimately, you know, you want him on the move. He's effective in the tunnel and bubble screen game because he has run after catch space to build up that speed.
He had a couple of end around runs, but explosive plays everywhere from the backfield as a runner on sweeps to a vertical weapon on seams, goes, posts, and overs. Focus drops were an issue. He had four, and it was kind of simple turn and run stuff. Did you sense, and I think he's a tough player, did you sense, how can I best put this without, I don't want to do an unfair denigration because you have to talk to the player. Did you sense an aversion to traffic? If you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's, again, that's not what he is. It's funny you say that because that's like people saying, well, he's not going to high point the ball. Well, no kidding. He's 5'8".
Right.
You know, a little bit.
On a slant or a –
Yeah, I might see that. To some degree. And I agree about the focus drops. There were a few too many drops on balls that he simply has to catch. You can't drop the routine throws. He had a few too many of those. I mean, you can make the point that he's not going to have a large catch radius because he's 5'8". I mean, again – but no one's going to draft him because of those things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, are they weaknesses? Not really. They're just what he is he's 5'8 and 3/8 and 174 pounds. No one is going to jump up on the table and say, hey, let's draft this guy as our boundary X, man. He's going to make a ton of back shoulder catches and high point the ball. No one's going to say that.
No, well, what I wrote is he'll win the contested catch battle with open space and with physicality because he'll get grimy if he has to, but that's not his. That's not who he is.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he probably needs to be a little more detailed and nuanced as a route runner. You know, you can't always rely on quickness and speed to win when you get to the next level. You know, I would say he's more straight line linear at this point, but you know, I think that for what he is, he really can run. And he catches – I thought your point about ball tracking was a really, really good one. I made that point as well. I mean, he's really good at that. And as you said, there were a lot of underthrown balls that he had to track really well.
Yeah. It was like one of those bad combine drills where you're like, okay. It's like he's hanging and hanging and hanging. And so that's an interesting larger point of negatives versus things this guy just doesn't do because that's not who he is.
Yeah, I mean – there's probably not a lot of 6'3", 220-pound receivers who can do what he can do. So, there, you know, it just becomes – so is that a weakness? I mean, it just becomes what they are.
Right.
And then that's why the – see, I know you do the same thing, but when I watch these guys, I think of projection, transition, and deployment in the league. Yes. Obviously, you have to look at their traits and attributes. You start there. But then the way I always look at it is how will they be deployed in the league? And you know, that's – so therefore, are they weaknesses per se? Not necessarily. They're just not how they're going to be deployed.
With Gould, was there one play that really kind of personified him?
Oh, I didn't mark one play down. Although I would say maybe that he had a 61-yarder versus Stanford that I remember. I don't know if you remember that one. I thought that showed Gould at his best. Detailed in-breaking route. He created separation and then electrifying run after catch. I mean, which he can do.
Yep. We're going to put all these up. I want to get
one. Yeah, so it was 61 yards versus Stanford.
Gotcha. Next receiver, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia. I think a lot of people are missing out on what this player actually is, but we'll get into that. Little under 6 foot, 186 pounds. Last season, he had 30 catches on 37 targets in an injury-plagued season for 483 yards and 2 touchdowns. 67% of his snaps were outside. Great on intermediate stuff and can get it done deep. And, of course, he's white, so it's Cooper Kupp and it's Wes Welker. The guy he reminded me of right off the bat was Emmanuel Sanders, but I want to get your thoughts first.
Interesting.
On, just that smooth gliding, great route runner, and I mean, the Cooper Kupp thing, I mean, sure, Cooper Kupp is great, but I want to get your, because you mentioned McConkey pretty authoritatively when we went over like which guys you wanted to do. So what really stands out to you about him?
Route running, and I'll tell you what I mean by that.
Yep.
When you run routes, particularly versus off coverage, obviously it's different if you're being pressed, then it's a different animal. But if you're running routes versus an off coverage corner, whether it's man or zone, if you're an outside receiver, that corner essentially has to play you. Then it just comes down to a matter of what his technique is. You know, whether he's going to face you straight up and maybe a more of a man concept, or whether he's going to play you a little more side saddle if it's zone. But the point is if you're lining up, you know, as the number one receiver outside, not in a reduced cut split, but, you know, as an outside receiver. And by the way, he's going to line up in a lot of reduced cut splits in the NFL. But let's just talk about route running. So here's what you have to do. You have to either get him off his spot or get his body to turn in a certain way so that you can break opposite that turn, because guys can't then totally turn their body. In other words, if you want to run an in-breaking route, you want to get the corner to turn his body to the sideline. Mm-hmm. Because he can't snap his hips around quickly enough to defend an in-breaking route if his body is turned totally toward the sideline. Okay. You know, you're trying to get him turned, or you're trying to get him off his spot. That's what route running is. So what you're doing is you're using your vertical stem, the early part of your route to do that. And then at the top of your route stem, you're also doing whatever it is that you do to do it. But that's what you're trying to do. And he had no wasted motion or step. So, I mean, he didn't give anything away. And I thought that he just was really smart in and out of his breaks. He had sudden burst and quickness. To use one of my favorite terms, he was a separation generator.
Yep.
I just really liked what I felt that this guy just understood the nuance of route running.
Well, here's one of my notes. McConkey uses an impressive burst off the line of scrimmage to set cornerbacks up in press or off. And then those cornerbacks are going to have issues with his sudden cuts into and out of his break.
Yep.
So I'm kind of seeing the same thing there.
You know, and it's funny because another guy that I didn't specifically have a weakness for, but I mean, you could say that, yes, does he have to get stronger? Sure, he has to get stronger. You know, he's a college kid. I mean, he's 6 feet, 186. You know, by the way, his 20-yard shuttle at his pro day was off charts. It was 4.04.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, does he have to get stronger? Does he have to get better against press? Sure. But the way he's going to be deployed in the NFL is going to really minimize and at times eliminate that. I mean, think of him in an offense, and I'm not saying he's going to get drafted by this team because you have no idea who he's going to get drafted by. But think of him in an offense like the Rams, where mm-hmm. he's going to probably be in reduced splits, cut splits, bunches, stacks. Mm-hmm. They're going to minimize the ability of a corner to press him and jam him at the line. That's what's going to happen. He's not going to be told, number one, he's not going to be a true boundary X. And number two, he's not going to line up on the ball an awful lot outside the numbers where a corner is going to get in his face. That's not going to happen a lot in the NFL because that's not who he is.
God, Kupp and Nacua and this guy. There's Sean McVay, your evil chef. Right,
and again, you know, I don't have any insight. I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Another thing I like about him is he has no issue getting grimy catches in traffic. I mean, he will catch the ball on a slant. He's going to get faced, and he knows it. He has no problem with that.
He's versatile. He can line up outside. He can line up in the slot. He can line up anywhere you want him to line up.
Yeah. And, yeah, outside of the fact that he's not built like Ja'Marr Chase, I don't see it.
Well, no.
Every passing game is better with one of those death by a thousand paper cuts receivers. You can get you that 6 to 8 yards on third and whatever, and he's absolutely that guy. He's in an offense where designed openings are the order of the day. He uses understandings of the nuances of the position to become a great asset. He's more than just a little slot guy at the next level.
Oh, my God. I was on the field at the combine, and I saw him. He's not short. I mean, he's 6 feet. He's not a little guy. No. I mean, he weighs 186. He could probably gain a few pounds, probably get over 190. His 40 time, I think, surprised a lot of people. I would say it surprised me a little bit. I knew he was fast watching his tape just because he plays fast.
He does, but he's not like a – it's not an immediate speed. It's more of a gliding speed.
No question. You're not thinking, oh, my God, this guy's going to run a 4.32. But, right. I mean, he did run a 4.39, and that 20-yard shuttle, I think, really speaks to, you know, which was 4.04, which, so people understand, is really amazing.
Yep.
I think that really speaks to his ability to snap his cuts off.
Yep. In my mocks, I'm either giving him the Chiefs, him or A.D. Mitchell sort of back to back, depending on what. Let's get to a larger gentleman, one I'm familiar with from the fact that he played in Seattle, Troy Fatanu. Oh, Washington, 6'3¾", 317 pounds. Last season allowed 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, and 18 quarterback hurries in an offense where Michael Penix Jr. threw 117 passes of 20 or more air yards, so we know he can sustain blocks. Important to note that as a left tackle for a lefty quarterback, he wasn't protecting Penix's blind side. That was Roger Rosengarten. I'm not making it an issue. You and I have discussed over and over how those positions are interchangeable, but I think it's worth mentioning. Oh, he's a blindside protector. Well, he really wasn't.
This guy was a fun watch, Doug. I mean, this guy is you wouldn't describe, you rarely describe tackles this way, but this guy was like a twitched up, sudden, explosive mover. And I love the way he used his hands. He had an understanding that using your hands is really, really important. And
there
I
was
love
one
the way
play
the guy
I'm
going to
bring up. You and I have talked about this. That rep against Texas where he slapped two pass rushers down in the ET stud. It was Ethan Burke and Tavondre Sweat. Both of those guys tried to get their hands in him, and he just slapped them down.
Yeah, he did that a lot. And sometimes guys would just then fall down.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, this guy's twitched up. He's sudden. He's got really active, athletic feet. A great understanding of how to use his hands to maximize his arm length, which is very good. I think the big issue with him, and it's one reason why he's being talked about at guard, I guess, is he did struggle with his anchor when rushers were able to get inside of him into his chest.
Yeah.
And then he got moved. So, you know, I've heard people say, they think of him as a guard. Maybe they do. I'm not an offensive line guru, so I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, that's what he needs to do. But I think he's a high-level prospect, whether you see him as a tackle or as a guard. Certainly his twitched-up movement suggests tackle, but if you're really concerned, if you don't think it's fixable about the anchor, then maybe you do see him as a guard. But I think this guy can play early in his career, and I think he's going to be a good player.
He'll get upright once in a while and get off his base, and that's where I see him get poleaxed a little bit. And, you know, that can be fixed. I think the height is low percentile. The hand size is very low percentile. The arm length is fine. I saw him getting – he's really good in, like, closed spaces. I saw him getting beaten to either side a little bit. I don't know what that has to do with anything as far as his physical attributes, but I noticed that. But
well,
My first note was brings a nasty mentality to the position. He's technically sound, but he really wants to kick your ass and dominate the rep. More pancakes and an IHOP on Sunday morning. And that's not just at the line. He would go up on screens and just beat the hell out of people at the second and third levels.
Yeah, too. And I mean, it'll be interesting. I'm fascinated by how he is seen. And I'll get a better idea because I'm going to be talking to some O-line coaches in the next week or so. I'll get an idea of how they see him because I'm curious myself because, like I said, you know, I can't sit here and say, man, I'm an expert on O-line and where a guy should play, you know. But I know that there are people who believe that he'll be a guard, not a tackle. But, boy, just that movement is God, that's fun to watch.
The movement's fun. The demeanor is fun. This, yeah. He plays with a defensive mindset. Plays with the defensive tackles.
High-level competitiveness. He's fun.
He's an OT who thinks like a DT. And I've told the story before, Walter Jones telling me years ago, pass pro isn't passive. I want guys to get their hands out more. It's what I tell everyone I talk to. Get your hands out more. Attack. And, you know, it's important. And
you certainly it's so interesting you say that because there's so many different approaches. And I think – I think everybody does it differently. I remember hearing Andrew Whitworth talk when I had the opportunity to go to the O-line masterminds last summer, and Whitworth said something that really struck me that I've never forgotten. And again, it's very individual based. You know, you have to understand as a player your strengths, what you might perceive as your weaknesses, and how then you have to maximize what you do well and minimize what you, you know, we all, when you play sports, you all know that you can't do certain things. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Woodward said something I've never forgotten. He said, don't forget, they've got to get through you. You don't have to run to them. They've got to get through you. So, you know, I think, you know, that might have fit the way Andrew Whitworth played. It might not be the way someone else sees it. You know, it's fascinating, you know, to hear different guys with different skill sets talk about how they go about doing their job.
Oh, sure. And Whitworth was so smart. And Walter had this thing where he just put his hand out and you'd explode. It was like a kung fu movie. Just
ridiculous. Yep.
Our next guy, Laiatu Latu, edge, UCLA. We all like him. 6'4¾", 259 pounds. Last season, he had 15 sacks, 11 quarterback hits, 36 quarterback hurries, 26 solo tackles, 33 stops. The stat I love with Latu, in coverage through his UCLA career, he allowed 8 catches on 10 targets for 62 yards, 30 yards after the catch, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and an opponent pass rating of 52.9. He can also, with all that other stuff we're going to talk about, he can drop into curl flat. He's a versatile athlete.
Yeah, although I don't think you're drafting him for that reason.
Oh, I would. Totally. I just move him to safety.
There you go.
I'd turn him into Julian Peterson. How about that?
The problem with him is going to be the medicals because I spoke to someone who said that it wouldn't surprise him at all if 18 to 20 teams took him off their draft board. Now, again, we don't know that. Right. This guy was actually my personal favorite stylistically of the edge rushers. Now, you know, there's other really good ones and, you know, I don't rank guys. I just, the way this guy played, I mean, this guy has tremendous explosiveness. He's got advanced and refined hand usage. He's got a lot of tools in his toolbox for a college player. You don't see that very often.
Right.
And he can bend the edge. This guy can do motorcycle lean.
Yes, he can.
He's got body flexibility. He can flatten his rush path. While at the same time accelerating off his inside leg to close with burst and speed to the quarterback. He's got a big-time motor. He's competitive. But the thing that really stood out was all the tools in the toolbox. You just
We talk about having a pass rush plan. This guy has the whole book. And
that's
rare in college. Exceedingly rare.
I agree. Plus he's 6'5" and he's 260. So he's not, you're not talking about a 6'1", you know, guy. I mean, this guy, you know, his arm length isn't great for 6'5", but he's a long body.
Yeah. Well, primarily an edge defender, but can disrupt that nose shade and three tech in a stand up or 3-point position. Just a few notes from me. Crosses the faces of blockers and jumps gaps with incredible quickness to drive to the pocket. It's one of his fastballs. Speed to and through the pocket is just nightmarish. Impressive speed of power from the edge. You had better do more than just chip him. Swipe move is a pure killer. Brings a lot of strength in his hands. Dominant more often than not at the Senior Bowl. Yeah, he has this weird kind of slow-plated disengage move that might not be as effective against better NFL tackles. But there are not a lot of weaknesses here. Not a lot of things where you go, oh, he's going to have to fix that.
No, I mean, could you argue that he's going to have to get a little stronger? You could probably say that about a lot of guys.
I would say, well, one thing I wrote was I would like to see him be a little more violent with his initial strike.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there'll be run game questions. That's where I think he's going to have to get stronger. But I don't think he's – assuming, you know, the medicals are okay and he does get drafted where he deserves to be drafted, which in my view would be in the top 20. I don't think he'd be a full-time player, three-down player to start his career. I think he'd be a sub-defense player that rushes both off the edge and gets moved around. So the run game element is something that he could learn over time. I don't think that that would be the number one thing.
He will get caught watching the ball and kind of missing the action, but, you know, that's one of those things that's hopefully fixable. But, yeah, we love him. Our next guy, Byron Murphy, the second. Mm-hmm. Defensive end, defensive lineman, Texas, because they move them all around. 6'0½", 297 pounds, and I'm the president of the Small Defensive Tackles Fan Club from John Randall to Aaron Donald. Last season, he had 6 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, and 36 quarterback hurries, 15 solo tackles, 23 stops. I like him, Greg. I know you love him, so I'm just going to give you the floor.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy that, you know, is a fun watch because this guy, for his size, I, you know, and again, there's a lot of these smaller, you know, one gap defensive tackles, you know, now that are coming along now. This guy is twitchy. This guy is sudden. He's almost freaky in his athleticism. I mean, he has almost startling movement traits. I mean,
he shoots gaps like a running back.
Yeah. I mean, this guy plays low to the ground. He maximizes his power and explosion, making it a real challenge for interior alignment to control him. I mean, this guy is just really, really hard to block. And he's really strong because he's so low to the ground. So he stalemates and defeats double teams with great leverage. As I said, he's so low to the ground. He rarely gets displaced out of his gap. And he made tackles when he defeated these double teams. I think he's the most dominant defensive tackle prospect in this class. You know, again, it all depends on what people like. You know, I guarantee there'll be some coaches that say, well, I don't want a guy who's 6'1⁄2". I mean, you never know with this stuff. But to me, his tape is really, really good. We know there's been a lot of these smaller, shorter, you know, lighter, so to speak, at 297 D tackles. You know, you mentioned John Randall. You can talk about Geno Atkins. You can talk about the Atlanta kid, Grady Jarrett. I mean, there's a whole bunch of these guys that have done really well in the league.
Yeah, that Aaron Donald guy did all right. But,
yeah, know. I don't like to compare anyone to Aaron Donald. I think, I mean, stylistically maybe, but, you know, Aaron Donald was, you know.
Yeah, I think Jarrett, because Jarrett was always that really quick one gap shooter. And, you know, the things about Murphy, a relentless effort through the pocket, had a sack against Iowa State in which the right guard threw him to the ground. Murphy got up and got the sack. He is on your ass from snap to whistle. He is just always going, can just forklift dudes when he's got his leverage together. Quickness and lateral agility to hit gaps running back style, and will jump 1 to 2 gaps and back to do it. He's very active laterally. You know, a team like the Cowboys that runs so many stunts and games.
He's really good at that because he's got great balance. He can bend. I mean, he slants. I mean, this guy's highly effective slanting into gaps. Texas did a lot of that, slanting into gaps.
All the old Joe Green stunt 4-3 thing. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very quick feet, prone to throwing wide receiver level foot fakes at some confused offensive linemen. Yeah, I love him a lot. I'm a big now Johnny, formerly Jerzon Newton fan, but I like Murphy as well.
I think Murphy's a better prospect than Newton, although I do like Newton.
Your final guy, Greg, and it's funny, we both did our guys list, and this guy showed up on both of them. Cole Bishop, safety from Utah. Uh-huh. 6'2", 206. Last season allowed 14 catches on 26 targets for 170 yards, 58 yards after the catch. 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, 1 pass breakup, and an opponent pass rating of 67.8. Also had 47 solo tackles, 22 stops, 3 sacks, 12 total pressures. Played everywhere from box to free to halves to outside cornerback once in a little while. I just loved him. But let's get your take.
Yeah,
first.
I mean, I really liked him too. I mean, I watched a lot of his tape. I watched him last summer from 2022 and then watched him this year. I mean, you're dealing with a guy, he's got size, he's got movement. You talked about the versatility. He's super competitive. I think he's savvy. He's intelligent. He's really active with his communication skills with teammates in the pre-snap phase. You know, you never know exactly what he's saying. There's no way to know that. But clearly he's aware and he's communicating. You know, he's got physicality. He's got athleticism. He's got play speed and range. You know, I think he can play post safety in cover one. You probably don't want to make him do that every snap, but he can do it. He certainly can do it in cover one and cover three. He can certainly play half field safety in cover two and all variations of cover four. I think he's a lot smoother in his transition and change in direction than people might think.
Yes. One of my notes had a nice backpedal and turn and can play press bail. Very versatile in coverage.
Yeah. And he covers a lot of ground. I mean, you know, very few NFL safeties, we would say, are super elite athletes. I mean, that's just – usually that's not the position. Every once in a while you get a guy, and I wouldn't say Bishop's super elite, but he's without question on the higher end of the athletic spectrum, in addition to playing with a really high football IQ. I just really like this kid a lot.
It's interesting his arm length is third percentile.
Which is really small for a 6'2 safety, really short.
But hand size is 89th percentile. So, and his 10-yard split was 152, 40-yard dash is 445. Vertical was, you know, off the charts. So,
I mean, I think people might have been surprised. I don't know if they were or not, but I think his 40 time probably surprised some people.
As far as in a positive sense?
In a positive sense, yeah.
I don't think he's – because, I mean, what I wrote, he has on-field speed that stands out over and over. It like, gives him the ability to play everywhere from blitzer to robber to post safety. Can match and carry speed receivers up the chute into either boundary. Has true sideline-to-sideline burst as a safety.
I agree. And, I agree with all that, Doug.
It's the same thing with linebackers. You know, these days where nickel is your base, you want guys who can cover half the field by default. It's not like, oh, I can't go past the numbers where I'm screwed.
You know, and how many defenses now start with a quarter structure? It doesn't mean they play quarters when the ball snapped, but they start with a quarter structure. That's become very common in the league.
Yep. He has a wherewithal to come down hard from the second and third levels to erase screens and other short passes. I think another on-field speed can be a blessing and a curse. He's eager to get to the receiver. He can be waylaid by backfield action and route concepts. Sometimes he's a little out of control, but for a safety, I kind of don't mind that.
And he did match up to tight ends man to man. He had an interception versus Oregon State doing that. He's a good blitzer. I mean, he had a sack versus Florida where he just beat the running back. I mean, he did everything that you really ask a safety to do.
Yep. So this sort of coiled spring where once in a while he might over – I like safeties like that. I like safeties who are a little off kilter.
But yeah, no. I don't view any of that.
Earl Thomas for so long. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't view that as a problem.
No.
I mean, you know, some might look at the arm length. You know how that goes. Some might have a rule, well, under 30 inches, we're not going to draft. You know, teams have those kinds of rules, you know, critical factors, as they call them. Right. And there might be teams that have that.
You know, unless it like with Fatanu's hand size, I don't know if that's one reason he gets beaten around the edge. Sometimes I don't know. So I have to go back and watch. If with Cole Bishop, I didn't really care because it didn't show up. Like I wonder, because I don't look at the measurements before I watch tape. I just watch tape and I might look at metrics before. But usually I start with tape, then I go to metrics, and then with these guys, I go to their, you know, I go to mock draftable and look up all the stuff and where the percentiles are. If it doesn't show up, it doesn't show up, you know.
No, you're right.
So anyway, Greg, that's your favorite guys. And as always, you're our favorite guy for the in-depth analysis you provide both with the NFL and the NCAA. And we'll be doing this again next week. But for this week, that's the X's and O's with Greg Cosell. Greg, we'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, Doug.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.